Father, bless these words. In Ephesians 2 and verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit." This is the beauty, this is the mystical nature, if you will, of the finished work. One of the things that always struck me about heaven is that we will be pillars in the temple of God in Revelation 20. We will be the pillars of the temple of God. And He will be in that temple, and the ark will be in the temple. It's very much a picture of this, and this is really taking us to that. This is what it means. You see, there was a problem. There were two. And this was a problem. There were two. There was God, and there was me. And that's not the way it was intended, but that's the way it became. There was God, and there was me. Before the fall, we had this perfect fellowship with our Savior. And there were no temples or buildings, it was simply in a garden. But we had a perfect oneness and fellowship, oneness in thought, oneness in heart. But when Satan came, he made us into two. And so there was God, and there was me. And I removed myself from Him. Right? I was afraid because I was self-conscious. And because I was self-conscious, it didn't really much matter what I was self-conscious about. The fact is that we are self-conscious, and so now there are two. And in my self-consciousness, I remove myself from my Savior. I remove myself from God. And there were two. Now, what Christ did was this. He shed His blood. He shed His blood. And He brought me near to Him. For He is our peace, who hath made both one. So it was by the blood that separation was removed, and now we are one. It is, you know what it is like? It is the cleansing coming over me. Like, you've been in the shower and the water comes on you. What happens if you go out of the shower? You're still wet. And this is like what it's like with us in the blood of Christ. I get washed in the blood of the Lamb, but I get out of the shower and I'm still wet. There is no drying off with God. He made me wet, He cleansed me, and now I'm covered in the blood. And my garments, Revelation says towards the end of the book that my garments are made white by the blood of the Lamb. That means the blood of the Lamb is what cleanses my life. The garments refer to my life. The blood of the Lamb is what cleanses my life. How does the blood of the Lamb make me one with God? And how does it cleanse my life? Because it removes from me my iniquities. Right? Revelation 1:5. It cleanses me from all my sins. Now here is the separation. The separation was in the fall, and the manifestation of the fall was self-consciousness. It changed my consciousness. You see, when I am separated from God, I am very self-conscious. And I can be self-conscious about the good things in me at the good side of the tree of knowledge, or I can be conscious about the evil things in me at the evil side of the tree of knowledge. But either way, I'm conscious of the tree of knowledge in my own life. And therein is my separation. But the blood does something for me. The blood removes that iniquity. It purges my conscience. It cleanses my thinking. It cleanses my conscience. It cleanses and purges my awareness. And by the blood of the Lamb, I become very occupied and conscious of my Savior. The blood is the key. The blood is the key. We are saved by the blood, but it's not only speaking of salvation unto, like, instead of heaven. I could go to hell if I wasn't saved, but now I don't go to hell because of salvation and I go to heaven. Yes, that's true, but that is only the beginning. In the blood, everything in me becomes reconciled to Him. By the blood, all my self-consciousness is, because there are so many areas where I can become self-conscious, all of those areas are purged, one right after another, process after process, faith to faith and grace to grace. And every one of those things gets removed out of my consciousness by the blood of the Lamb. You see, we think in such relatively righteous terms. Like we say to ourselves, okay, what do I need to be cleansed from? I need to be cleansed from the fact that maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I lied. Maybe I stole. Maybe I committed adultery, fornication, would have murdered somebody, drugs. Maybe I did the, and now I have to be cleansed in my consciousness out of those things. But that's not the extent of it. That is only a portion, and certainly the person who has done those things, they need the blood to take care of them in those areas. But this is not the extent of it. I need the blood to cleanse me from the things that I think are good in me. Why? Because they're the good side of the tree. That's why. I need the blood to cleanse me from what I consider to be my righteousness, apart from the fact that I have no righteousness at all, except the righteousness that God imparts to me through the blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? My righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And so I need God to cleanse me of my filthy rags. I need Him to remove them from me. Because they are a source of separation. What is it that is sin? What is it that is sin? Where does all sin come from? Bottom line, as far as I am concerned, I'm not talking about the external source, but as far as I am concerned, like in me, where does sin come from? Unbelief. Unbelief. So the blood cleanses me from my unbelief. You see, I have unbelief so long as I am separated from God. Why do I have unbelief? Because I don't believe Him. Seems obvious, doesn't it? But how many of us actually realize that? We have unbelief and we tell ourselves we believe Him. But I am afraid because I don't believe Him. I am anxious because I don't believe. I am self-righteous because I don't believe. I'm a thief, a murderer, a fornicator, a drug dealer because I don't believe Him. This is where the blood comes in. You see, if I live in a self-consciousness, I will live in an unbelief. If I am reconciled to Him through the blood of the Lamb, then I will simply believe Him. Because there is my reconciliation. I'm reconciled unto faith. Faith is not difficult. So many people make faith to be this big issue, and certainly it's a vital, fundamental thing for us believers. But it's not a difficult thing at all. Like, how many people believe their teachers in high school or in college? You simply believe what they tell you, right? You believe the history teacher when he tells you George Washington was the first president. How do I know that? Like, maybe everybody's making it up. It's like I ask my students sometimes, how do you know I'm telling you the truth? And I pick up the stapler and I say to them, how do you know that I'm not actually telling you banana? As I'm holding the stapler up. Maybe this is a banana. How do you know I'm not telling you? I say, well, you wouldn't do that. I mean, you're a teacher. You'd get fired if you did that. And so they give themselves the reasons why they should believe me. But do we do that with God? Or do we say, God, you gave your promise, you gave your word. God, I asked you, but why should I believe you? You see, there's this element of self-consciousness. Why should I? In a God-conscious mindset, why should I doesn't exist. In a God-conscious concept, the only place I have is in His thoughts toward me. In a God-conscious mindset, I will not be one who doesn't believe. I will simply believe because He said it. And if anybody even tried to challenge it, I would say, hey, that's God. He cannot lie. He's not a man. He is God. Don't you understand? He is God. Don't you understand? He's righteous and holy and pure and trustworthy. And He is God. It's like, why should you believe me, students? Because you get fired. I mean, you're the teacher. You've gone to college. They wouldn't hire you otherwise. And it makes perfect sense for them to trust the man. But does it make perfect sense for me to trust God who is perfect, and yet people will trust the man who is not perfect? No. Reconciliation brings me to a place where it is eliminated from me. That element of self-consciousness that leads to unbelief. How can I believe God if I'm conscious of self? How can I believe God? How can I trust God if I'm conscious of my own thoughts, my feelings, my desires, my abilities? How can I trust God if that is what I'm conscious of? It's like, how can I see that which is beautiful if I'm looking at that which is ugly? I can't. But I turn around and I look at that which is beautiful. And I believe. Faith is really easy. It's much easier than not having faith. Not having faith is a difficult burden to carry. Not having faith says, I have to do it. Not having faith says, it's up to me, it's my problem, it's this big world, and I have to deal with this big world. But faith says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. Faith said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll direct your path. Faith says, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Faith says, he'll go above and beyond all you can ask or think. Faith says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are given unto you. Faith is the conviction of reality unseen, and the substance of things hoped for. Reality. Faith is reality. Oh, I become reconciled to God. And in my reconciliation, I re-enter into faith. Like, how often do we doubt God? Right? And we say to ourselves, well, I don't really doubt Him. Yeah, you really do. I get into a situation maybe with my family, or if you have a family, if with my job or friends or circa money, and I or anything, health, anything, and I say, God, I know these are your promises, but look at me. And I don't verbalize it. I've been too well religiously trained for that. But really, look at me. Look at the circumstance. I mean, how likely is it? Don't you realize that you are thinking with a natural perception instead of the mind of God? How likely is it that God will speak the universe into being? How likely was that? How likely was it that you'd ever come into existence? Like, think about it for a minute. How likely was it that the sky would fall when God told Noah, build an ark? It never rained before. That was bizarre. He literally told him the sky would fall. How likely is that, God? And wouldn't our tendency be to say that God gives us something and say, whoa, God, how likely is that? Okay, I believe that you're God, but I don't believe this. The sky is not going to fall. Why? Because the sky falling is out of my natural conceptualizations. The universe coming into existence just because you spoke the word is out of my natural conceptualizations, God. What do you mean you can turn these stones into children of Abraham? This is out of my natural conceptualizations, God. Raise the dead? What are you talking about? Raise the dead are dead. This is out of my natural conceptualizations, God. It's not very likely, God. Don't you get it? Give me something, God, that is likely, and I will follow you. And God says, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. You see, that deny yourself, take away your self-consciousness, and then you can follow me. Because so long as you have your self-consciousness, you will say, how likely is that? We live in a relative righteousness. We live in a relative faith. But it's a relative faith that compares my ability to understand versus the infinite mind of God. And I compare that to Him and I limit Him by that. And God says, don't limit me. Let me be God. Don't limit me. Does it matter how likely or unlikely? I'm God. What is too hard for God? What is impossible for Him? Nothing. Nothing is impossible for God. What does it matter how likely or unlikely? Can I understand what you are doing, God? I don't know. I don't know, little man. Can you understand where the wind is blowing to? Like the wind blows where it will, but do you understand where it came from or where it's going, little man? Do you understand, little man, how it is that the stars are placed in the heavens? Do you understand, little man, how the soul comes into a pregnant woman, into the child? Do you understand that, little man? Do you understand, little man, how it is that I stretched out the heavens? Why are you asking how likely is it? You don't understand the very basic fundamentals. Things that were so simple to me, I simply had to say a word. Like, what is it with God? What is it that's your obstacle? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of that element of self-consciousness that says me and I. Instead, have that element of God consciousness that says your will, not mine. That says all things are possible. That says God is more than able. Yes, Lord, I believe. Why? Because I'm talking to you. And so I believe. You see, God said, I don't call you my servants anymore. I call you my friends. And so now, in verse 19, therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Why? You believe. You got rid of that self-consciousness. You were restored unto me and you believed. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, those who gave us the word of God. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, the one that holds the word and all things together. The one that holds me, the one who holds the passageway. Why? I believe He holds my faith together because I have the faith of the Son of God, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And so now I have that reconciliation with Him because I believe, and now I start to function as a part of who He is, as the body of Christ. And there is the temple of the Lord, and I am a part of it, in whom you also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. No more self-consciousness, no more separation. The blood takes it away. And when the blood takes it away, I can believe. And when I believe, I can have a perfect union with my Savior.